So Luke 19, starting at the first verse. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree and to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Keith. It's a joy to be back here. I first came to Christchurch almost 57 years ago when, as a very raw teacher of what was then the girls' grammar school, I came to Weston. And it's been a real privilege to have the link for all those years. As you heard, I came over from Cardiff this morning and it wasn't nearly as bad as people thought it was going to be. But pray I'll get back safely and that I don't have to go round via Gloucester to get home. But it is a privilege to be back with you and to thank you once again for the way that over many years serving in the other side of the world, you supported and prayed for me. So let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it's living and active. And we pray that you'll work through your word this morning as we look at it together, that you'll speak to each of us and change us to be more like Jesus, for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. Jesus and his disciples were on their way from Galilee to Jerusalem to celebrate the Jewish feast of Passover. This was an exciting time of year for every Jew. Not only were they looking back and remembering how God had redeemed them from slavery in Egypt and brought them safely into the promised land, but they were also looking forward to the coming of the promised Messiah, who would deliver them from their hated Roman masters and once again restore the kingdom to Israel. It was an exciting time, and every good Jew went to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And some coming from the north, from Galilee, were perhaps asking, could this wandering teacher and miracle worker from Galilee be the Messiah? Was revolution against Rome just around the corner? Now, as travelers in those days faced danger from robbers and other dangers on the road, Jesus and his disciples were probably part of a larger group of pilgrims heading from the North Galilee down to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. Just over a week before Jesus died, we're towards the end of his life, and if you want to follow, we're on page 1053 in the church Bibles. As they crossed the River Jordan and drew near to the border town of Jericho, a loud cry was heard from the side of the road, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" A blind beggar is asking Jesus for mercy. And despite the rebukes of the crowd who said, "Be quiet, don't disturb him, he's on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem," The beggar shouts louder and louder, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And Jesus stops, calls for the man to be brought to him, and then miraculously restores his sight. Wow! Surely that would have drawn an even bigger crowd. The progress of Jesus and his disciples along the road must have been slowed, as so many would have wanted to see Jesus, doubtless hoping for another miracle. Enter Zacchaeus. The first thing we're told about Zacchaeus that day is that he didn't want to be left out. Well, in verses 1 to 4, Zacchaeus was eager to see Jesus. Jericho was a prosperous city on account of its strategic location near the very busy border crossing of the Jordan River between Perea on the east and Judea on the west. So there were customs posts in Jericho where the tax collectors charged duty on goods coming across the border. Tax collectors were appointed by the Roman authorities using a bidding system, like you bid for houses in Scotland, where you say what you're going to pay and in a sealed envelope, and whoever bids the highest gets it. Well, it worked like that in the days of Zacchaeus. Those who wanted to be tax collectors put in a bid, and the highest bidder won the job. All they had to do was to deliver that sum they promised to the Romans each year. But once they'd been appointed, it was left entirely up to them how they raised that sum. And it was up to them to decide what they charged to each merchant coming through that border crossing. And did they do well by this? Usually much more went into the tax collector's pocket than they paid to the Romans. And Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector in Jericho, and had become very rich indeed. Unsurprisingly, Zacchaeus wasn't popular. Not only because his riches had come from the extortionate rates of tax he charged, but also because he was seen as a collaborator with the hated Roman colonizers. He was a traitor to their nation, working with the hated Romans. So why was he eager to see Jesus? Well, perhaps he'd heard stories about Jesus. Perhaps he'd heard Jesus work miracles. Anyway, he wanted to see Jesus. But the problem was, he was short. And the crowds now coming into Jericho as Jesus had healed this blind man were blocking his way. He went one side and he went the other side and he tried to push his way through the crowds, and when they saw who it was, they said, "Get away, we don't want you, Zacchaeus. We hate you. You're a traitor, you're a collaborator." So what did he do? Well, he looked all around, make sure everybody's looking towards Jesus. Nobody's looking. After all, this is the chief tax collector. And he sees this tree and he thinks, "That's a lovely leafy tree. If I climb it, I can see everything that's going on and nobody will know I'm there." And so this chief tax collector, the head of the inland revenue, runs down the road and climbs a tree, perhaps praying quietly, "Please don't let anybody see me doing this." Not quite the sort of thing that it does. He was eager to see Jesus. We don't know exactly why, but that eagerness was so important. It takes me back to a story from when I worked in the north of Sumatra. And one Sunday morning, somebody I'd not seen before came to our church service, and I happened to be leading it. And after the service, he said, "I want to learn about Jesus." And as I had the privilege of preparing him for baptism, I heard his story. He was a Javanese naval officer, and he and his wife had been posted to North Sumatra, over 1,000 miles away from his home area. They'd been curious about the Christian faith for a long time, although they'd both been brought up as Muslims, as is the majority religion in Indonesia. And he said to his wife, when we go to North Sumatra, that's a fairly Christian area of Indonesia. There are lots of Christians there. So we'll make some inquiries about the Christian faith. And as I got to know him, he told me his story. He said the first Sunday in Medan, the capital of North Sumatra, they went to a church and they didn't understand a word. The whole service was in a regional dialect, which they didn't speak, coming from Java. And the next Sunday they went to another church and the same thing happened. It was a different regional dialect, but they didn't understand. And the third Sunday they tried once again. And once again it was another language they didn't understand. The fourth Sunday they turned up at our church and we were speaking the national language. And he said, I'm so grateful. I wanted to learn about Jesus and at last I can understand. Eager to see Jesus. Eager to learn about him. Would you have done that four Sundays running, trying church after church? How eager are you and I to see Jesus? How eager are we to get to know him better? Do we think just coming to church once a Sunday will do? Do we every day spend time reading God's word, getting to know Jesus better? This naval officer was so eager. Are you? Am I? The second thing about Zacchaeus, verses 5-7, is he received Jesus joyfully. Try and imagine Zacchaeus' reaction. Jesus walking along the road in a huge crowd of people, obviously hoping for yet another miracle. And Zacchaeus thinks, wow, if I part the leaves, I've got a good view. Nobody will know I'm here. And suddenly Jesus stops and looks up and says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today. I'm surprised he didn't fall out of the tree. Must have been incredibly surprised. How did he know I was there? And how did he know my name? Jesus had come for Zacchaeus that day. And he came down quickly, probably half tumbled out of the tree. And then he said to Jesus, come to my house. He knew he'd get criticized, and didn't he just? The Jews said, he's gone to be a guest at the home of a man who's a sinner. How could this teacher, this rabbi from Galilee, doesn't he know what Zacchaeus is like? He's a horrible man. He cheats. He's got rich by extortion. But Zacchaeus welcomed Jesus joyfully, even though he was going to face and did face fierce criticism from the crowd. He welcomed Jesus joyfully into his home. He didn't care what people thought. He didn't care about the comments. He wanted to welcome Jesus. It reminds me of someone I knew in East Java when I was working there. He was also a Muslim, and he had a very strange story to tell when I got to know him. Because every Saturday night, he used to watch the late night movie on the television set in his little shack, two rooms on the banks of the river, with no facilities. But he ran his television with a battery, and he listened to the late night movie every Saturday night. And every Saturday night, an evil spirit seemed to come into him and take over. And he would go at his wife and his four children with a knife, to the extent that they had to go somewhere else every Saturday night to escape when he had these bouts of possession by this spirit. But his next door neighbors were Christians, and they'd been praying for him. And one Saturday night when he was rampaging around with a knife looking for somebody to kill, he didn't know what he was doing. He heard a voice saying, go and find a church because only Jesus can help you. It was past midnight. He came walking up the road, past a couple of churches, and ended up at the church where I had the privilege of serving. He woke up the caretaker at about 1 o'clock in the morning and said, I want to find Jesus because only Jesus can help me. I had the privilege of preparing that man and his wife for Christian baptism as they came to know and love the Lord Jesus and were set free from that spirit that was disturbing him. They became a lovely Christian family. But they were so eager to see and to welcome Jesus after midnight, waking up the caretaker. And they came week after week to study and to learn about Jesus. And their enthusiasm and their joy was contagious as they discovered who Jesus was and how he could transform their lives. How do you and I welcome Jesus? I've learned so much over the years from the privilege of seeing many Muslims come to trust in Jesus Christ. Their enthusiasm, their joy, they want to tell everybody who Jesus is because Jesus has come into their lives and made such a difference. How do we react when we're with people who are not Christians? Are we enthusiastic to tell them about what Jesus means? Do we tell them what he's done for us? Or do we say, oh, we wouldn't want people like that in our church. We have nice people at Christ Church. Zacchaeus wanted to welcome Jesus. And do we day by day welcome him? And welcome those whom he brings, whatever their background, the people who are different from us, but who love the Lord Jesus as we do. So Zacchaeus was eager to see Jesus. He received Jesus joyfully. And thirdly, he was saved by Jesus. And his life was changed radically. Did you note how this translation translates verse 8? It's lovely. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. He could do that. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Well, he'd have to find out first who he cheated. Look up in the books. He couldn't do it immediately. He could give straight away half of his goods, and then he could pay back four times the amount. According to the Old Testament law, money or goods that had been gained unjustly had to be restored in full plus 20%. You can read about it in Numbers 5 and Leviticus 6. So what Zacchaeus was offering was far, far more than the law required. He only had to give back plus 20%, but he said four times, 400%. His whole life was changed so radically when Jesus came into his home. Note, Zacchaeus wasn't saved because his life was changed. His life was changed because Jesus had saved him and his family. The salvation came first and the life change was the result of what Jesus had done. Because Jesus called him a true son of Abraham. And the New Testament tells us that sons of Abraham are not those who are Jews by birth, but those who have a faith like Abraham and do what Abraham did. And what did Abraham do? He trusted God and his life was transformed. He was a man of faith. He left his home and traveled to an unknown land. The change in Zacchaeus' life proves that he'd become a true son of Abraham because he'd put his faith in Jesus and had been saved. Did you note what Jesus said about Zacchaeus in verse 10? Today salvation has come to this house, this is verse 9, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Our church in Cardiff learnt some lessons about that some years back now. One Sunday, a man called Alan walked into our church. He'd cycled from the other side of Cardiff and come to our church. And he came in and introduced himself. It was quite obvious that he was almost illiterate. And we gradually heard his story. It was actually a woman, but she'd been on the streets of London as a prostitute, and she'd had two children who'd been taken away from her at birth because of her situation. And eventually, in desperation, her family had rejected her. She came to Cardiff and she identified as a man for safety. And she was waiting for the operation to change her gender. Our church in Cardiff is a very middle class church. And this wasn't the sort of person we were used to. But the church members just loved Alan. And gradually, she said, well, actually, my name is Amanda Jane. And then she said, well, I don't want the operation anymore. And then God began to change her life as people simply loved her and Jesus loved her. And she came to put her trust in the Lord Jesus. And it was simply lovely. She didn't read very well. She bought a large print Bible and somebody would find the place and she would try and follow. But we learned so much from Amanda Jane that God can change anybody. Anybody. Zacchaeus was changed from the hated tax collector to the one who became a benefactor. He must have been jolly poor at the end of his giving, mustn't he? Four times everything he defrauded and returning all the taxes that were not right. He was changed by Jesus. May I ask you this morning, how has your life and mine been changed by Jesus? And has the change been radical enough? Are there still areas that need to change? As someone once said, the last area to be converted is our pockets. Do we need to be converted and changed in the way we use our resources? Or maybe, has our tongue been converted? James says, no one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Maybe this morning, ask God to show us if there are areas of our lives that he still needs to change. I'm sure there are in mine. And ask that God, as he changed Zacchaeus, transformed him from a corrupt tax collector into a disciple of Jesus, that he'll change us too and go on changing us. Let's pray. Let's have a moment of quiet when we ask God, are there things in my life that you still want to change to make me more like Jesus? Thank you, Father, that you've heard our prayers. And thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you are daily transforming our lives. We pray that you'll go on doing that, that we'll never feel that we've gone far enough, that you'll allow us to transform us, that day by day we may be more like Jesus. Thank you that you can transform anybody. And thank you that you're transforming us. We give you thanks and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.